All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wealth Blend with CrossShield, where money meets fresh ideas and bold conversations. Each week, we bring you the hottest financial trends, expert insights, and practical strategies to level up your financial game. But here's a secret ingredient: having a financial coach in your corner. Together, we'll help you navigate the journey, tackle challenges, and build your wealth with confidence and purpose. And of course, we'll keep it fun, lively, and oh so engaging. Plus, our quirky mascot, Zoodles, is here ready to spice things up. So grab your favorite coffee, settle in, and let's blend the tools, insights, and coaching support you need to create your ultimate wealth story. I'm Rudy Upshaw, CEO and founder of CrossShield Financial. And today, we have our senior financial coach with us today, Mrs. Amanda Hirschberger. So glad to have you. Amanda, welcome.
Good morning. So excited to be here.
Amanda, your voice is kind of quiet and
it is.
you don't sound real good. What's going on?
Congestion is not my friend. And it has definitely made my voice turn, but I'm still really excited to be here and share what we've learned and what we know.
Oh, Amanda. Okay. So you've been through it a little bit this last holiday season. So tell our audience what you and your family have been dealing with.
Yeah, we've been just a mixture of different things that hit us all at once. It sort of started right before Christmas and spread throughout the family, and with a combination of so many different viruses and flus that hit us all at once, we kind of just took a turn, and all four of us got sick at once over the Christmas holiday. So, but at least we were able to stay at home and get better together. So that was good.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here today. You and I have been talking for the last several weeks, and you guys have been through a lot of illness this holiday season, but it sounds like you guys are getting a little bit better. And anyway, so thank you for joining Zoodles and I today on the podcast. And just for the audience, we are doing some updates to our podcast that we have for the Wealth Blend. We're doing a little bit of a rebranding work there. So I do apologize. We don't have our amazing music and our intro videos and all that stuff. Those will be here for us next week. So thank you for your patience. But we did want to talk about a couple of pretty significant articles that we want to share with everyone, talk through. And, you know, the last week or two has just been pretty challenging for a lot of our country, specifically these wildfires that we've had in California. It's really hard for me not to watch all the video and all the press and the media that's been happening. A couple of nights ago, as I was watching the media and the coverage on the wildfires, you know, we had actors, well-known actors that have been interviewed on a lot of the news shows talking about, you know, what has occurred, talking about their home, their property. Even in some of the videos that were done, these very well-known actors, wealthy actors, are standing next to their property that has been burned to the ground. And one of them had shared, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're an actor, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, don't have a home, if you're homeless or don't have any type of, things really to you. We're just all people at the end of the day. And so, as I was watching all that, it just reminded me the value that we provide to people, regardless of what walk of life that you're in taking control back of your money, putting things in a really, really good place financially so that when, you know, a significant emergency occurs, that you are at least prepared on how to walk through that and to deal with that and understand. And so the value of financial coaching is really, really important. And so our hearts just go out to our country, goes out to those that have been impacted by that. And this article that we have today is really about talking about the insurance aspect as an effect of what's occurred. So this article is from the Wall Street Journal. It's by Joe Pinsker, and really just talks about these losses that are going to be incurred because of the fires and the situation that are there. And Amanda, I know you've had quite a bit of experience dealing with insurance claims,
yes.
not only for yourself, but also for clients. And you've seen some of that. This particular article, not that you and I are any expert by what we're probably about to experience over the next several years as a result of these wildfires, but I'd love for you just to share a little bit about the article, a little bit about your perspective, and from a really a place of, I don't know, what would you kind of advise people? And this doesn't have to be people from California, but people across the country that are thinking about the aftermath of this, you know, disaster that's occurred from a financial perspective, from an insurance perspective. So wherever you want to start with this, there's so much here and there's going to be so much more related to the insurance piece over the next many weeks and months. But yeah, just jump in and just kind of share any thoughts that you might have for our audience about the impact of this for all of us.
Yeah, and of course, the most horrific impact is those directly impacted, of course. But, you know, I'm glad that somebody's bringing, you know, this issue up to our eyes, that this not only affects them, but it affects our nation as a whole, you know, and that it's going to hit pocketbooks as well. You know, it's really, really important to understand these things and to understand that insurance has different regulations in different states. And so just because you don't necessarily live in a state that isn't in one of those disaster areas that gets disasters frequently, such as California or Florida or places like us that live in Tornado Alley and have, you know, those issues, you can still be affected by these things. It's important to understand that, especially understanding your state's local regulations on insurance and how important it is to understand those things. That can affect your pocketbook very, you know, very significantly, especially because, you know, a lot of the companies that had, and it mentions it in the article, how some of the companies, you know, they just dealt with these two hurricanes in Florida, and now they're dealing with these in California. That's what's causing this tightening and this need to find income somewhere else to keep the insurance companies going. And so it's so, so important to stay on top of that and understand that, and understand that when you're looking to move to a certain area or stay in a certain area, that has to be a significant factor. When you're living in an area, when you're considering moving to a certain area, understanding those things like insurance, taxes, different, there's more than just the cost of the home, the blank cost of the home. And that's why it's so, so important to carefully think those things over and have those considerations, because you may be getting a job that's paying $70,000, $80,000 more, doubling your income, but there may be a reason for that because there's a compensation based on other things that are going on there, such as insurance increases or tax increases or things like that. And so it's really, really important to have those considerations. If you're not sure even where to begin and what to consider, that's why we say talk to us, because we've seen these situations. We've seen clients go through these, walk through these different steps, and we've had personal experience as well. And so it's so, so important to carefully read this and carefully review your insurance policies and see what their rules and regulations are and when they can increase, how much it can increase, what's the percentage increase. All of those things are significantly important when choosing an insurance company. And so that can make a massive difference as well in who you choose, just as important as the price. And so, so much more than just the bottom line price that you have to consider when you're going into things like this.
Yeah. Really great points. You know, as we look ahead to the effect of these specific natural disasters that have occurred this year, but also the fires, I really want to encourage our audience to just understand that you're going to have increases to your insurance. We've seen this last year. It looked like in this article, it talked about for the first 9 months of 2024, there were losses, insured losses. It says $89 billion of insurance losses. And this is significantly higher than what we've seen from the 21st century average. Was about $49 billion. So almost a 90% increase from what has happened before. So, and that this doesn't even factor in what is occurring or has occurred to date with the wildfires in California. I haven't heard any estimates, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be probably the most costly. I think reporting has been that's been the most costly natural disaster event that we've ever experienced in our entire history. Wow. So all that being said, I'm encouraging our clients and the people that we have conversations with to let's prepare for what is coming to you, to your household. You are going to have an increased cost in all your insurances because those costs that the insurance companies will be covering are going to be passed down to all of us through all of our insurance products that we need for our household. So that being said, it's a good time right now. If you're not working with a healthy budget process for your household, if you don't know or really understand what your insurance needs are today, I highly encourage you to let's have a conversation. Let's sit down with you. Let's first and foremost, we've got to get your budget in a place where when these costs start coming, you know how to manage that appropriately and take care of it because it is coming. Secondly, we also want to make sure right now, before we start to see increases in our insurance rates across all of our insurance needs, let's go ahead and make sure it's correctly set today so that we can put these policies in place if we need to. Many times these policies don't adjust for a year at a time. And so it's a really good practice now to take a really strong assessment of where you are and be very, very proactive because the increases are coming for us. We may not see it for another 6 months, maybe a year, but when it comes, it's going to be a fairly sizable increase in our household cost on the insurance stuff. So Amanda, any comments, thoughts about that for our audience?
No, I think that's very wise to start looking at this and to start warning everybody that this is coming. It's not avoidable. It will happen. And so having the things in place, when there's something you can't avoid, sticking your head in the sand is not going to fix the solution. It's not the solution. Or complaining about it's also not the solution. You can be frustrated about it, but it won't change the circumstances.
Yeah.
And so you should not, we are not recommending going without insurance. And so to prepare for that, knowing what's coming ahead is going to create so much more peace in your life being prepared, being ready for it. That's what's going to make the difference and bring you peace in times like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So second article that we have today is this is really all about the what our money may look like with the change in our presidency here in our country. There's been a lot of conversations about the impact to our wallets, what that'll look like. And so we want to talk about this. This article is in the Wall Street Journal, and this is from Ashley Ebeling. And this came out on January the 16th. So a really good article about some of the potential impacts to us and our household as we change the presidency, going from our current president, Biden, to President Donald Trump. And so taxes are a pretty big impact, I think, that we're going to see. And we expect that we're going to see a very positive impact with our taxes, with the proposals and the recommendations that the Trump administration will be working on. So I'll just talk about this article briefly. So Trump has vowed to extend the 2017 tax cuts that are expected to expire at the end of the year. And so he's expecting to extend those tax cuts. So what this means is that the intent is for us to pay less in our federal income taxes that go in to support the federal government so that many of these departments in our government making sure that the services that are there really are appropriate. And as we're cutting taxes, these departments, these areas are going to start kind of reducing in maybe some of the things that they've done in the past. And Amanda, I know this is something that you stay on top of from an accountant's perspective, the tax piece. I'd love for you to share your perspective about this, you know, potential reduction in taxes that we may see. It's probably not going to be immediate, right? The IRS and the federal government doesn't move very quickly. But talk to us a little bit about that perspective. And I think how this even plays into this article doesn't specifically mention the DOGE, organization in our government that's going to be looking at ways to reduce spending in our government. But I know that plays a big part in a lot of this initiative too. So I'll just pass over to you and talk a little bit about kind of the tax cuts.
Right. Absolutely. So, when there's tax cuts, that means that people can spend more money, and which is good. That means they're spending more of their own money, not borrowing money to spend, which, you know, we all know that our deficit, just the consumer deficit is increasing drastically over $1 trillion, and it's just not slowing down at all, which is not healthy. And so, but in order to do that, we have to cut in certain areas to help make it easier for certain people in certain areas, but also compensate in other areas because the money still needs to come from somewhere. And so, so understand that as you're going through this entire system, because if you're reading this article, because there's a lot of data there, does that mean that everything's going to get approved? No. Does that mean that it's going to take time? Yes. It probably won't be until the summer, spring or summer, that these laws actually get put in place, and they probably won't take effect until 2026, because that means tax forms need to be changed. You know, everybody needs to be informed. We have multiple meetings. We have multiple. It's a big process. It's a big process to bring about big changes like this that are going to happen. For example, they're talking about the child tax credit, increasing that child tax credit to compensate for inflation. That's drastically going to help families, especially large families, in their taxable income. And, they're talking about, they're debating on, you know, a cap for state and local taxes. If you ever see SALT, there's a thing called SALT cap in here. That means that it's state and local taxes. That's all that stands for. It's not like the salt you put on your food. And and so just to give you all a little tidbit there. All of these things, you know, they feed off of each other. There's also talk about making your car loan interest deductible. Now, car loan interest is deductible when businesses owners use it in their business currently, but this is something different. So this is car loan interest, period. And so not that we recommend buying a car with interest, but that's beside the point. I'm reading from the article. So and then also lowering taxes for citizens that live abroad as well. And so, as well as what's really interesting, and I'm really interested to see how that would play out, is a tax credit for caregivers of family members. I'm really, because there's this big movement of people not being able to afford their parents, or, you know, aunts, uncles not being able to afford healthcare in their later years. And so family members have to stop their jobs, sometimes very lucrative jobs, to go in and take care of these family members, causing a significant, you know, financial burden to them as well. And so I'm really interested to see how that plays out. All that to say, that doesn't mean that these are 100, any of this in this article is going to happen 100%. These are just proposals of what they are thinking of doing. And so it's really important to stay up to date and know how this will affect you. But also, once again, having a good, steady financial plan in place, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, we just came off the conversation about the impact to our insurance bills of the wildfires. And, you know, if we're going to have some decrease in our taxes, meaning that we'll have more disposable income after our taxes are taken out of our checks, after a few months of things. Actually, probably, Amanda, just let's be really, direct's not the right word, but probably these tax cuts won't actually see these probably until maybe the next tax cycle. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. They probably won't take effect. I mean, if things move incredibly fast, you might get it in the 2025 tax year.
In 2025 that may impact our profitable.
But really, but I guess, Yeah, but really it's a long-term thing that's going to happen here. There's nothing that's going to happen very quickly right now.
But it probably will happen. And so the point to all that, I think, for both of us is, hey, we know we've got some increased costs that are probably coming on our insurance bill. Mm-hmm. We may not see that for a while, okay? There's probably going to be some tax cuts that'll happen that'll give us a little bit more of our paycheck to work with. So all that being said, again, now is the best time to start making sure we've got a good, healthy budget and we're planning for those adjustments that are going to happen. And so when the taxes start to filter through, we have a little bit more money, we want to make sure that we're setting that money, not necessarily aside, but we have a good plan for it, to your point, Amanda. Right. So cryptocurrency is the second little piece of this article that we talk about. And this has been a fascinating development for me to watch and observe, in that the cryptocurrency market really has become much more maybe discussed, as far as less of a, oh, that may happen, but it's going to be a long, long time from now, and we really don't want to spend a lot of energy or time thinking about it. It's becoming quite a bit more mainstream in discussion. I still think there's a lot of caution that we want to take. Right now, cryptocurrency is so volatile. It's still not regulated. It seems like the regulatory environment is becoming a little bit more proactive. And how do we assist in managing this so that people's funds are a little bit more protected in this? But just the fact that the Trump administration has talked really about, and in one of the campaign conversations that were had, President Trump said that he wanted to make the U.S. the crypto capital of the planet. And but listen, I think there's really something to cryptocurrency. We want to be very cautious with it. It's not something that we recommend our clients to be heavily involved in. If you're at a place where you don't have a healthy budget, you do not have an emergency fund, you have consumer debt that you're making payments on, cryptocurrency is one of the last things that we recommend you to dip your toe in the water and to put any of your money toward at that point. Mm-hmm. If you don't have those issues, if you already have a good, strong wealth building strategy, you know, putting a, you know, let's say 15% of your pay into a good, well-diversified financial strategy investment-wise, and all of your other financial goals are in a good place, then it may be okay to, you know, test that out and get more educated, more informed about it. But please don't do it until everything else is in a good spot. And that's why working with a good financial coach like Amanda, or one of our team members, will kind of help you decide that. So I just thought that was fascinating that crypto really came up on this item. If you have anything to share, Amanda, that'd be great. Yeah. I know we have a few more things as well.
I mean, I agree 100%. It is very rare that I recommend, you know, tell any client, yes, sure, that's fine. I always recommend it with the instance of, hey, treat this like gambling. Treat this like you're going to the casino. You could win big and that's great, but you could also lose it all. So you need to treat it as such, because not because I don't think it's something, it's not valid, it's, you know, voodoo. It's because it's new and it's different and it's ever evolving very quickly. And it's not nearly as stable as some other investment strategies that you can do, to where the allowance of a loss is very low. And this has just a significant swing. And so I am recommending this only to my clients that have an extremely great budget. They are completely out of debt. There's very stringent details. And I also say, treat it like your fun money. This is something for fun that you're doing for fun on the side, so that if it all goes away, you are not going to lose a wink of sleep that night. And so, and not putting all of your eggs in that basket. And so it's very, very strict. So for 99% of the people out there, I say, nope, it's just not a good idea as an investment strategy right now.
No. And one other thing that we always tell our clients, Amanda, when we're walking through many of these vehicles, the financial options they have, if you do not understand it, that doesn't mean that you have to know all the small little details and how things trade and all that. But if you don't have a really good understanding of what you're putting your hard-earned dollars into, please don't do it.
Yes.
Just don't. right? There are plenty of other financial vehicles, plenty of other things that you can put your money into that will make a return that are much easier to understand without the risk. So don't put your money in something that you don't understand at the end of the day, period. Okay. All right. Next piece in this article is student loans. This is the third item that there'll be some impact on. So this talks about the Biden era student loan relief programs are going by the wayside. And when the Trump administration takes office, that is going to be really kind of taken care of and buttoned up. And listen, for those of our audience that may have received a benefit from the program, that's great. That is absolutely wonderful. But there's been so much, it's just the legality of the forgiveness of these student loan debts that are owed to lenders, that are owed to universities, and us paying for those, it was just never, ever going to pass. So just know that you're going to have some changes that'll come through that process on the student loans. Again, going back to this whole conversation of if you have not prepared to have a good, healthy budget and a strategy and a plan, just know that these changes that are going to be happening on student loans, you'll be impacted by those. And so we want you to be prepared for that. So anyway. Any comments on that, Amanda, from your perspective?
Right. I have this conversation with many clients because I do have several clients that are on, student loan public service forgiveness plans right now. Yeah. And I always tell them that's great, but also understand that it could possibly not work your way. It could possibly not get forgiven. And you need to be aware of this and understand this and, always be prepared for that possibility. And plus you never know where life will take you. You never know if you'll have to change jobs because of a family situation. You don't know what the future will hold. And so, our first line of defense, I understand it's hard. I was there. I was personally there. And, it was really, really hard. And, it seemed very insurmountable. And, but I paid it off. I paid off my student loans. And I have friends still today that say, don't you regret not doing that? And you could have taken that money, all those tens of thousands of dollars that you paid on this and invested it instead, or done this instead, or gone this way, and you would have made much more money. I said, no, because when I go to sleep at night, I'm not where, yes, I'm paying attention to the news so I can help my clients better understand their situations and help them through those situations and make informed decisions. But me personally, I sleep great at night because I don't have to worry about what regulations are happening, because I worked so hard for a short amount of time to get rid of that out of my life. So it doesn't bother me anymore. I don't care what anybody else does because it's not in my life anymore.
100%. Yeah.
And so that's always our first step when we're talking about student loans with our clients is how do we help you make this happen?
And then in the fourth little idea, the things to watch for in this article on the Wall Street Journal talks about mortgages. Mm-hmm. So for our audience who probably are not aware, there are two entities that pretty much do, I would say, the vast majority of the mortgage lending guarantees and processes in our nation. Those two entities are called Fannie Mae, the Federal National Mortgage Association, I believe, and then Freddie Mac. I can't remember what the acronym stands for. But so the Trump administration has proposed to take these two entities that are private entities and move them out of government control. So about 15 years ago, the federal government, because of what occurred in the Great Recession with the mortgage market at that point in time, the federal government effectively took control of these entities and they become governmental bodies. And that was never how it was designed to be. And so the Trump administration has signaled and agreed that they are going to work through the process of taking those independent private entities and helping them become, helping them become actually private entities. And so that's going to be a very, very positive thing for the mortgage market, for those things to occur. However, it is going to probably cause a little bit of a of an increased cost as those entities now are no longer supported by us and our tax dollars. They are supported by the public market sector. The cost for that process to occur may increase mortgage rates a little bit. So, again, just kind of be aware of that from a budgetary perspective. It is an important thing to be able to take an entity that was created privately that's basically now public and to move that back into a private environment. What it will do, I think, long term, and this is not included in this article, but I think it will create a little bit more of a competitive environment for the mortgage loan programs, giving more power to the borrower to be able to shop for the best mortgage product for them instead of that loan product being really driven and supported by government funds, which are really through our taxes. So, Amanda, thoughts or comments on that particular article?
I completely agree with that. You know, in that perspective, it doesn't address that. And I think I agree with that. I agree completely that that's what I'm going to see happen as well. The other thing, you know, I have a lot of clients are saying, well, I'm not going to buy a house right now because the bubble will pop. The real estate market bubble will pop, or rates are going to go down, or eventually, right? They just have to. Guess what? They don't have to. They don't have to. You more than with your past experience, Rudy, I'm sure you've had this conversation with many people in chairs. It just has to, right? It just has to go down. And it's wishful thinking is not informed decision making. I hate bursting that bubble for you guys. I know, because a home is just such a precious personal thing, and it's very emotional, and there's so much attached to it. And it's the largest asset you purchase. It's a very big deal. And so, and one of the biggest wealth building tools as well, but people are putting their lives on pause, living in RVs and like for years and saying, well, it's going to pop. It's going to pop. We're going to be fine. And then we'll buy then, or we'll buy when the mortgage rate is below this. And depending on the financial situation, which is very complicated when you're buying a house, there are times where we do recommend buying a house no matter the mortgage interest rate, no matter, you know, but only if you're financially ready for that. And you're like, and that's a complicated answer. And that's why we work with our clients so heavily and recommend the things we do based on that.
Yeah, no, that's super great. All right. So that's kind of it for the articles today. Amanda, what are you seeing with any of your clients? Any particular issues that are popping up that your clients are walking through at the first of the year?
So one of the big issues probably that I see, and it's because I'm dealing more with businesses, is reporting. There's this reporting thing that's going around. What's this BOI reporting thing? Do I need to do it? Should I do it? Mm-hmm. It's on pause, but they said we don't have to. Honestly, guys, if you need to report, just go ahead and report. It's fine. All they're asking for is your business information. And they're not looking for you. They're looking for companies and seeing how they're structured. And 99.99% of the people are just fine. And it takes 5 seconds to report your company, put it for free on the site. They even have a nice little YouTube video where you can put all your info in, confirm your identity, do all the things. May take about 10 to 15 minutes. I would say don't be scared doing this and don't put it off, because then once again, you're not having to watch the news and say, did I report it on time? Did I not? Am I going to get fined if I don't report it? You're sleeping better at night. Just report it and be done with it. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you own a business and you're like, Amanda, I didn't understand any of the last 5 seconds of this, please reach out. I'd love to talk to you, because it's important as a business owner to stay informed, especially when you're doing side hustles and you have like a small LLC on the side and you're doing something really small. It's still really important to stay up to date. They don't give forgiveness just because it's your side hustle, and it doesn't work that way. Yeah. And so even if it's a small, tiny side business you have on the side, ask questions. It's okay to ask. It's good to ask questions, because we want to save you time and money. That's what we do. And I'd love to help you through that situation.
Fantastic. We'll put a link in the description for the podcast today. And then also, Amanda is going to be joining us for our new podcast called Powerful People, Powerful Stories. And Amanda may share a little bit more about this beneficial ownership information, BOI, that would affect anyone that does have a small business, which in today's world is pretty much all of us. We all have probably side gigs and things that we're doing. So check out that podcast. We'll put a link to Amanda's scheduling page for you to schedule a time to visit with her and ask her any questions that you might have to help you get where you want to go. So thanks for tuning in to the Wealth Blend with CrossShield. Ready to kickstart your financial journey? We've got your back. Click the link below to book that free and quick consultation time with Amanda or myself. My link will be in there as well, which is your first step toward building the wealth you deserve. Love today's episode. Show us some love by hitting like, subscribe, or follow, and check out our bio for links to all of our social platforms. Stay in the loop with the Wealth Blend. New episode drops every Friday at 3 p.m. Catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Deezer, YouTube, and so many more platforms. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Grab yourself a cup of coffee or tea, crush those financial goals, and as always, happy savings. Thanks, Amanda. See you, everyone. Bye.